is not really thin. It's just Sunday morning is going to be busting. So we are excited that you're here today. It's going to be a great evening celebrating the death of our Lord Jesus. How many of you are glad Jesus Christ died on the cross for you? How many of you watched The Passion this week? My goodness, I've watched it twice so far. Just a reminder of what Jesus paid for, what Jesus did so that you and I could have our sins washed away. So many of us forget how powerful the message and the cost was for the new covenant that Jesus cut for us. And tonight, I'm excited that we get to celebrate that. So let's all stand to our feet. I'm going to have my wife open us in prayer, and we're going to usher in the presence of the Holy Spirit.
Father, we just thank you so much for the price that you paid for us, for our salvation and for the forgiveness of our sins and for the healing of our bodies. We just thank you. We are so grateful, God. We recognize and we remember what you've done for us tonight as we celebrate and we honor and we worship you. God, we let our sacrifice tonight be so pleasing to you. Let it be pleasing to you and a sweet aroma before your throne this evening. We love you so much, Father. Thank you. Thank you for the gift you gave in your precious Son's name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Let's worship together.
Let's give God praise. Come on and give it to Him. We serve a risen Savior. He's a true and living God. Put those hands together. Come on.
Calvary, but he rose in victory.
He's alive.
Oh, break our walls down.
Ceremony, but God, we want to see your kingdom in this place. We want revival to break out in this place. Shake up the fallow ground. Let those seeds come to life now. We thank you for what you're going to do in this place. Somebody lift your voice in worship. Come on, let somebody worship. Somebody lift your voice.
we sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah.
That you do what you do best. We ask tonight that you'll reconcile us. No matter where we are, what we've done, where we've been, we know, Jesus, tonight your greatest desire on that cross was not just to hang there for a few, but was to save all. So tonight, Holy Spirit, we ask that you draw all, that your presence will be experienced by all, and that not one will leave this place without saying, I've had to think about the cross of Calvary. God, tonight we thank you that you love us so much that you gave us your son. And tonight, Jesus, we don't celebrate religion. We don't celebrate a tradition. We don't celebrate and just go to a church service. But we sing this way to you, Jesus, because you are alive. You rose again on that third day, Jesus, and thank you. Thank you for rising. And today we just give you all the praise and the glory, for you are in this place tonight. Holy Spirit, we give you the freedom. Lord, I pray for those who've never been in a church service like this before this evening. I pray, Spirit of God, that you'll give them peace. That you'll draw them tonight, not to a church, but to you. God, we just want to say we love you tonight. Thank you so much. And we give you the honor and the praise and all the glory. And everybody in agreement said, amen. Why don't you turn to someone next to you? We're not gonna do meet and greet this evening because we got so much time and we gotta work with. But I'd like you to turn around to the person behind you or the person in front of you. Why don't you shake at least three or four hands around you right now where you're at and say, well, good evening. You look just marvelous today. Did everybody get greeted by somebody? Come on, make sure you turn around and say, good evening. Thank you for being in the house of God tonight. Hallelujah. Did anybody say hi to somebody? Turn to somebody and say, listen, if you didn't, you're a snob. We want to welcome all of our guests this evening. If my wife can come out with me, please. We want to welcome all of the guests. If this is your first time in this style church, you might be saying, oh my goodness, what did I get myself into? We want you to know you're going to be all right. Amen. That the reason that we're a little robust in our praise is because he busted the grave. And you see, if you're singing to a dead God, well, you can do a little chanting. But when you're singing to a live God, he likes to hear you. Amen? Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Maybe it's your first time here and you're saying, oh my goodness, I've heard about those churches. I didn't see anybody rolling in the aisle, but I did see people raising their hands. Why are they raising their hands? If I stuck a gun in your chest and said, stick them up, give me all your money, you'd lift your hands in surrender. When you see people in church raising their hands, it's really simple. All they're saying is, I surrender. They're showing an outward expression of what they're believing, they're declaring to God inside. So tonight, we just want to say we love you. We're glad that you're here this evening. And if you're our first-time guest, we'd like you to raise your hand tonight. We just want to celebrate. We're not going to make you stand up or anything. But if you're a very first-time guest, there you go, young man. I see you right there. Anybody else? Come on. Come on. Very good over there on this side. We have a gift for you. If you haven't gotten one yet, we have gifts. If you're a very first time at his tabernacle, come on, raise your hand. Very good. Look at the guests all over. HT plus one. Come on, family of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Can we give all of our guests a hand clap this evening? Thank you so much for being with us. We know sometimes it's brave to come out to a new church, and it is. It's uncomfortable. We want you to know we celebrate you for being so brave. We ask that you come back three times. Turn to somebody and say, he wants me to come back three times. Do you want to know why? Because the first time you come, it's a little acclimation is necessary, especially if you're not used to this style of church. But by the third time, we promise to have you all messed up. That is, we're promising that you're going to have a hard time going to the quiet church. We're going to get you ready for heaven. How many of you know when you get to heaven, it's not going to be quiet? Amen? Just trying to get you ready for heaven. So we'd just like to say thank you so much for coming this evening. We have something for all the ladies. I have, I believe, how many of you ladies received a raffle ticket already? Oh, very good. Can I have the ushers? Are they ready with raffle tickets? They've all been handed out? Who did not receive one, but you would, a lady? Very good. We have some ladies. Very good. We have some. Now, what this is for is we want to bless all the ladies next week. And how are we going to do this? Next Sunday, if you come back, we're going to do a drawing for a day spa. How many of you wouldn't mind a day spa? You don't get a ticket. For a day spa, and also we're going to do a drawing next week for the ladies. We're going to do it for the mother-daughter breakfast. So we're going to have some folks win some stuff for the mother-daughter breakfast. You're going to have free breakfast with your family. And so we're going to be doing that next Sunday. But you have to be here, ladies. Turn to another lady and say, you got to be here. So when we receive the offering this evening, make sure you bring your ticket up and put it in the bucket. And when are we doing this? Next Sunday morning, we're doing the drawing. So make sure you're in the house. Amen? Now listen, if you enjoy tonight, which I know you will, you might want to get on the phone and invite some of your friends that don't know Jesus and make sure they're with you tomorrow morning. Sunday morning. I'm sorry. I feel this is Saturday. So, yeah, that's right. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Thank you, honey. You might want to bring them on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Now, we are having a petting zoo on Sunday morning, as well as the children will be singing on Sunday morning. So maybe you have friends that you'll be able to bring. So I'd encourage you, make sure HT plus one, everybody brings one person on Easter Sunday morning. Amen? This is my beautiful wife, Rhonda. She's going to receive the offering this evening.
Amen. Wow. Friday night, he was crucified. He paid the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. As we're getting ready tonight to receive our tithes and offerings, I want us to prepare in proportion our best gift for our King, who we've been watching the Passion, we've been meditating and remembering the price that he paid for us. And it is so incredible. You know, when I watch that movie and when you read it and you hear about it, it's so different than actually seeing a representation of what happened and the price that he paid. And he said in his word, and even in life, when this was happening, no man has taken my life, but I have given it. At any moment, he could have called 10,000 angels to come down and rescue him, but he gave his life for our sins and for our salvation and for our healing and for our admission to the family and the kingdom of God. He laid down his life for us, for each one of you. Put your name in there. He gave his life brutally for Rhonda. What an awesome sacrifice. And tonight, as we're remembering his gift, prepare your gift to give him as a sacrifice to bless his name. And nothing, we can't even begin. We can't even begin to compare, but we can show a portion of gratitude for what he's done. Because he's so incredible and he's so good, and you were so worth it for him. If you were the only person on this earth, he would have done it for you. None of us are worthy and none of us deserve it, but yet he did it. It just blows my mind. It's unfathomable what he did for me, the price that he paid. So incredible. Such love. Such love. He's awesome. Are you ready to give this evening? Stand to your feet. We're going to make a supernatural declaration. It's simply the word of God in Deuteronomy 28. Now, it's the first portion of Deuteronomy 28, which includes all the blessings. And that's if we obey. If you read on, if you don't obey, there's a whole bunch that you could read that aren't blessings. So we're going to quote the blessing part because we obey the word of God, right? So let's quote the blessings from Deuteronomy 28. And it says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in. And I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your gift to the King this evening.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everybody. Y'all not talking to me Friday night. Let's try another one, Pastor Dave. Bring me another one. This one keeps going. Yeah. We're going to try this one more time. There it is. Hear me. Can you hear me? Until everybody says yes, I'm going to keep doing it. Can you hear me? Spirit of Pastor Mike. One more time. Go to the center of the stage. Okay. To the left. Your left. I must be in horse heads because we just talk out like that. Here we go. You ready? Right here? Okay. Joke. Joke. Not working. But nevertheless. Thank you for coming tonight. It's a pleasure to serve this church. So give God praise. 1, 2. All right, we're going to try this again. I said it's a pleasure to serve this church. Amen. Amen. Tonight, we're going to get out of the way. Just want to introduce you to some fine people that are going to bring to your attention something very imperative. Many may think that Jesus was stolen because some people don't believe he got up out of the grave with all power. So, was his body really stolen by Roman soldiers? Did he actually get up out of the grave with all power in his hand? Maybe the disciples, the 11 apostles, came and they took his body somewhere. I don't know. But on tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to go to a courtroom scene from 2016, and we're going to find out the truth about the case of the missing body. If you're out there, you're saying, well, he's in the grave. They found him missing many, many, many thousand years ago. So tonight, let's go live to the courtroom scene. Run it again, run it again, run it again.
Good evening. This is WHTV News Channel 7, and I'm Liz Scott. Tonight's story, the case of the missing body, has reached a boiling point that is creating a major stir. The body of Jesus has yet to be recovered. Many speculations are circulating to the whereabouts of the body, yet the authorities have focused their case on those closest to Jesus. It is believed that the 12 men that have come to be known as the apostles probably have taken their leader's body to an undisclosed location. This just in, we're just now learning that the body of one of the 12 apostles, Judas Iscariot, has been found dead near his home. It is said that Judas was responsible for turning Jesus over to the Roman government for a substantial amount of money. Authorities have not found any evidence that this is a homicide. In fact, they're ruling his death to be a suicide. Let's bring in our WHTV news correspondent, Katie Sanford, as she updates us live from the courthouse. Katie?
Good evening, Liz. The scene down here is filled with great intrepidation. These people who are believers of the now Jesus of Nazareth have gathered here at the courthouse and have begun protesting. They are asking for the now 11 apostles and believe that Jesus rose according to scripture written. We do know that the 11 apostles have been captured and taken into custody. And due to the enormous security surrounding this case, they are being held at an undisclosed location. We do know that all 11 are scheduled to stand trial this evening.
We understand that high-profile District Attorney Sharon Curtis is defending for the state. She's known for prosecuting some of the top cases we have seen.
Liz, we're being told that District Attorney Curtis is pulling up right now.
The body. Jesus. The body. Jesus. The body. Jesus. The body. Jesus. The body.
Miss Curtis, may we get a quick word with you before you enter the courthouse? What are your feelings surrounding this case?
Well, some say the government is behind this, but we have built a strong and sturdy case of substantial evidence that shows these apostles are guilty of this insidious crime. I predict a conviction.
Well, there you have it. Back to you, Liz.
Katie, before you go, they tell me that this young upstart defense attorney has his hands full, being that this case is filled with so many big names. Our producers are telling me he's pulling up to the courthouse right now. Is it possible for you to get a word with him?
Mr. Matthews, can we get a quick word with you about this case?
Yes, it is my desire to prove that my clients are innocent of this ridiculous accusation. With careful examination, I believe that our judicial system will prove them innocent. Thank you.
Jesus.
Well, Liz, we've heard from both lawyers at this time, and now is the moment we've all been waiting for. Reporting live from Chemung County Courthouse, I'm Katie Sanford.
Thank you, Katie. We hear that the apostles have arrived at the courthouse under intense security. The lawyers are in place, and Judge Sandra Peterson is ready for court to begin. Let's go live to courtroom 3.
This court of the 19th Judicial Circuit, with the Honorable Judge Sandra Peterson presiding, is now in session. All rise. You may be seated.
This court will now come to order. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, this case involves the missing body of Jesus Christ from the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. Today, the plaintiffs are the chief priests and the elders. The defendants in this case are as follows: Peter, Andrew, James, the son of Zebedee, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, and Simon. The chief priests and the elders are asking you to decide whether or not these 11 men are responsible for Jesus' missing body from this said tomb. The chief priests and elders, would you like to make your opening statement today?
Yes, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Morning. The evidence in this case will prove that on the night between the 13th and the 14th of Nisan, these 11 apostles stole the body of Jesus Christ, their leader, from the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. When Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early in the morning, on the 14th, the stone covering the mouth of the tomb had already been moved away, and the body of Jesus was missing. The only possible, reasonable explanation that we can find in this court will be that these 11 apostles stole the body of their leader, Jesus Christ. Thank you.
Thank you. The lawyer for the 11 apostles, would you like to make your opening statement?
Yes, Your Honor. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, my clients have been wrongly accused of stealing the body of Jesus Christ from the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. Now, my clients are followers of the aforementioned Jesus Christ, but they are in no way guilty of the charges filed against them today by said plaintiff. It will be clear beyond a shadow of a doubt that my clients are innocent of this ridiculous accusation, that the body of Jesus Christ was not stolen as they claim, but Jesus Christ, as he said he would, rose from the grave of his own volition without any assistance from the apostles or anybody else for that matter. Thank you.
Thank you. Plaintiff's lawyer, you may now call your first witness.
Thank you. We call Jackson Ripley to the stand.
Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you are about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God. You may be seated.
Good evening. Could you please state your name for the court?
Yeah, Ripley. Jackson Ripley.
Thank you, Mr. Ripley. And can you tell the court where you live?
Yes, I live in that large mansion in Mammon. Y'all know the one. North of the Sea of Galilee.
Did you hear Jesus of Nazareth say, and I quote, I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days?
Yes, that's exactly what he said, and that's exactly what I heard with my own two ears.
Well, wouldn't it be safe to say that this man is a very dangerous individual? I mean, he's talking about destroying the temple of God. And would it also be safe to assume that his followers could be just as dangerous, if not thieves and robbers?
Objection, Your Honor. Counsel is leading the witness.
Substain. The last question will be scratched from the record, please.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I have no further questions.
Thank you. Defense counsel, you may now cross-examine.
Thank you, Your Honor. Mr. Ripley, you were quoted as saying that Jesus said, and the plaintiff's lawyer just said it, I am able to destroy the temple of God in 3 days and to build it back again in 3 days. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
But isn't it true that what Jesus really said was, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will build it up?
Yeah, that's what I just said.
No. Mr. Ripley, no, it's not. You quoted Jesus as saying, I am able to destroy the temple of God. But what Jesus simply said was, destroy this temple. You are implying by your quote that Jesus said that he was going to destroy the temple of God, which he did not say or mean at all. But somebody else of whom you are a part of would be destroying the temple of God. Jesus, referring to himself, did not destroy himself. You and your corrupt friends are really the ones who destroyed the temple of God when you nailed him to a tree.
Objection, Your Honor. Objection.
You and yours are guilty of destroying the temple of God.
Objection, Your Honor. Counsel is badgering the witness.
Mr. Matthews.
I have no further questions.
Thank you. You are dismissed. Thank you. Plaintiff's counsel, you may now call your next witness.
Here's a tissue. Cry me a river. I called Dr. Edwin Thurman to the stand, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you are about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
You may be seated.
Good evening, Doctor. Could you please state your name for the court?
My name is Dr. Edwin Thurman, MD, PhD, DDS.
And for the court, could you please tell them what your primary occupation is?
Yes, I'm a physician at the Jerusalem School of Medicine.
Thank you. Are you acquainted with one Jesus of Nazareth?
I am.
Would you say that this Jesus of Nazareth is in good physical condition?
Objection. Relevance to the case, please.
Your Honor, I'm leading up to my point.
The objection is overruled, but get to the point, counsel.
Yes. Let me restate my question. Would you say that this Jesus of Nazareth is in good physical condition?
Yes, the validity of this man's health is in fact undeniable. I mean, this man was in top physical condition last I can recall. In regards to his medical history, there's no evidence or record of him ever stepping foot in a hospital in regards to any medical attention or medical care. As a matter of fact, there was this woman, a patient of mine that I've been treating for several years, who's had an issue of blood of some sorts, as we should say. And she heard rumors from other patients who have received healing, miraculous healing, from this man Jesus, as they proclaim. And so she sought Jesus out, and upon encounter, she was immediately healed. But what confounds me is the manner that this manifested. This woman was immediately healed, by simply touching him. It's mind-boggling. I've wanted to look into this a little bit further, but I simply haven't had the time.
Understood. Well, wouldn't you say that if this Jesus of Nazareth was in such great physical condition, especially that he could heal someone simply by a touch, that he could withstand many a wound to his body? And isn't it possible that when they took Jesus down from the cross, that he was in a state of shock, sort of a mini coma, if you will, and that the aroma of the spices and the coolness of the tomb that he revived?
Objection. This is all conjecture.
This objection is overruled. Answer the question, Dr. Thurman.
Yes, I suppose that can happen.
Thank you. No further questions.
You may now cross-examine.
Thank you, Your Honor. Mr. Thurmond, I would like to clarify, you are a physician, are you not?
I am.
Okay, and please forgive me, I'm not trying to be rude or disrespectful, but how many people have you seen come to after being crucified?
I have never witnessed anyone surviving a crucifixion.
Never?
No.
Okay, so it is an established fact that the Roman soldiers were asked to break the legs of those being crucified that day. The Jews wanted the people being crucified to die faster and take the bodies down so that the bodies wouldn't be hanging up on the crosses on the Sabbath.
Correct.
Now, could you explain to the court why they did not break the legs of Jesus Christ when ordered to do so?
They did not break the legs of Jesus Christ because he was pronounced dead.
A Roman soldier shoved a spear into the side of Jesus, did he not?
Yes, sir.
And what came out?
Blood and water.
Okay. So, in your vast experience as a medical professional, what would that indicate to you concerning the medical condition of Jesus Christ at that moment?
The indication would be that his heart had exploded.
His heart exploded. So, if the plaintiff's counsel is to be correct, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, Your Honor, allow me to recap. Jesus survived the following: severe beating, blood loss, crucifixion, further blood loss, a spear being shoved into his side, producing a gaping wound from which blood and water flowed out from, that a medical expert just testified to, that his heart had exploded. Survived entombment with 100 pounds of spices on his already weakened body. Woke up 3 days later without any medical assistance. Survived 3 days without food and water. Now, he lost most of his blood by this point. He unearthed himself from a tomb by pushing himself from behind a huge boulder that a healthy man would struggle with. Once outside, he overpowered a group of Roman soldiers that are elite killing machines, then promptly walked 7 miles to Emmaus on feet that had been pierced
with
nails.
Objection, Your Honor.
What is your objection?
Don't you question me, Counselor. This isn't your courtroom, and I don't answer to you.
Order in the court.
I have no further questions.
You may be excused, Dr. Thurman. Thank you. You may call your next witness.
Plaintiff calls Joseph of Arimathea to the stand.
Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you are about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God. You may be seated.
Could you please state your name for the court?
Yes, it is Joseph of Arimathea.
Thank you. Did you request the body of Jesus Christ from Pontius Pilate?
Yes, I did.
And did you place the body of Jesus Christ in your own new tomb?
That is correct, yes.
Once the body was in the tomb, are you the one that wrapped the body?
Yes, that is correct.
Did you alone roll the stone in front of your tomb?
Yes. Yes, I did.
So, you had complete control over the body of Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Okay. You and you alone wrapped the body?
Yes. Again.
So, since you had complete control over the body and nobody else seemed to have it, wouldn't it be easy to say that you conspired with these gentlemen to make yourself richer than you already are?
Excuse
by
me?
Hiding instruments that are in the linen wrappings?
No, excuse me,
and
what?
Isn't it true, Mr. Joseph of Arimathea, that, well, you and you alone, well, not you alone, you have your conspirators here.
What are you saying?
I'm saying that you and you
I
alone...
I object to these preposterous ramblings!
Preposterous or true, Counselor? Are you scared of the truth coming out?
Wisdom is justified of her children,
Order!
Counsel.
We'll see.
Order in my court! Counselors, approach the bench.
I have enough of these shenanigans in my courtroom. No more outbursts. Am I understood?
Yes, ma'am.
That was your last warning. There will be no more of these outbursts in my courtroom. Am I understood?
Yes, Your Honor.
Any further questions?
No, Your Honor.
Defense counsel, you may now cross-examine.
Thank you, Your Honor. Joseph, thank you for being here today. I just have one question. As you were transporting and wrapping and preparing the body of Jesus Christ for burial, did you notice anything unusual?
No, I did not.
Everything was fine?
Perfectly fine.
Thank you, Your Honor. I have no further questions.
You may be excused. Plaintiff's counsel, any more witnesses for us today?
Just one. I'd like to call Detective Harriet Reisner to the stand.
Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you are about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God.
I do.
You may be seated.
Good evening, Detective Reisner. Could you please state your name for the court?
Harriet Reisner.
And where do you work?
I work at JBI, the Jerusalem Bureau of Investigations.
Have you been working on this case? The case number 5747, the case of the missing body?
Yes, I have.
And what is your conclusion? What have you come to?
Well, we looked at this case at every possible angle. First, we looked at maybe Jesus' body was never put in the tomb in the first place, and that his body was thrown out with the rest of the criminals.
Right.
But we found this to be false because we could not locate the body. Secondly, we looked at the case that the people who saw Jesus after were in delusion. But the followers of Jesus Christ never expected him to rise in the first place, so why would they be in delusion and think that they saw him? And thirdly, we looked at the case of mistaken identity. Maybe somebody trying to impersonate Jesus, gaining attention to themselves, possibly one of these followers trying to look like Jesus. But like I said earlier, these disciples never expected him to raise in the first place, so why would they try to do that?
So, you were very thorough in your investigation, were you not?
Please, get to the point, Detective.
Yes, we were very thorough in our investigations, and we concluded that the followers of Jesus Christ came in at night and stole the body while the guards were asleep.
Okay. I have no further questions, Your Honor.
You may now cross-examine.
Thank you, Your Honor. Ms. Reisner, could you tell the court what you found in the tomb when you got there? Was there anything at all?
There was some linen cloths, and there was a napkin that was wrapped around his head, but the napkin wasn't lined with the other linen cloths, but it was placed in a pile by itself.
So you say wrapped around. Now, were these grave clothes, were they scattered around the tomb, or were they folded neatly and in order?
They were neat and in order.
So in your experience as a law enforcement officer, when somebody breaks into an establishment to steal something, though they're in a hurry, don't they usually tidy up the place and try to make it look all spick and span before people come back?
No, they would completely trash the place.
So, Ms. Reisner, you say that the only conclusion, the only possible conclusion that you came up with was that my clients stole the body of Jesus.
Yes.
Could you explain how 11 citizens could sneak past a group of hardened Roman soldiers?
That is what the Roman soldiers told us. They told us that they came in and stole the body. They were eyewitnesses to the scene of the crime.
Eyewitnesses.
Yes.
Can you tell the court what the penalty is for a Roman soldier when they fail at their post?
That penalty is death.
Were these Roman soldiers put to death or reprimanded in any way?
No. They were not reprimanded in any way possible. As a matter of fact, my husband, who works at that local marketplace, saw these Roman soldiers purchasing very expensive things, and I actually found that just a little bit odd, knowing how little they get paid.
I know. Now your investigation makes sense. Maybe my clients paid them some big bucks, you know, to help them look the other way.
No, I ran a credit report on all 11 of these guys, and they had nothing to their name.
So what exactly did the Roman soldiers say, Detective? They were there. If anybody knew what happened, they did.
All these guys said to us was that these men came in at night and stole the bodies while they were asleep.
So can you explain how somebody who's asleep witnesses people stealing a body? You can't, can you? It's impossible. I have no further questions.
Thank you. You are dismissed. Are there any more witnesses?
No, Your Honor, the plaintiff rests.
Okay. We will take a short recess and we will reconvene in 30 minutes.
All rise. You may be seated.
Welcome back to WHTV News Channel 7. I'm Liz Scott. The district attorney has presented her case, and things got pretty heated in the courtroom. Let's check in with our WHTV news correspondent, Katie Sanford, and see what the reaction from the crowd seems to be. Katie, are you there?
Yes, Liz, I'm here. The reaction seems to be mixed here in front of the courthouse during the prosecution's portion of this trial. We have no clear feeling either way at this point. Back to you, Liz.
Thank you, Katie. Now let's go back to courtroom 3 and see what the defense has to say.
This court of the 19th Judicial Circuit with the Honorable Judge Sandra Peterson presiding will now come back in session. All rise. You may be seated.
Thank you. Defense counsel, are you now prepared to present your case?
Yes, Your Honor.
You may proceed.
Thank you. I call Simon Peter to the stand.
Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you are about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
You may be seated.
Good evening, Peter. Could you please state your name for the court?
Peter.
Peter, did you or anyone you know steal the body of Jesus Christ at all?
No.
Okay. Now, before the morning in question, did you ever expect to see Jesus again?
No. In fact, I was going to start my fishing business again. I'd lost all hope of seeing him again.
Why?
I just had a hardened heart and just failed to believe what the prophets had spoken.
So, how do you explain what happened to the body of Jesus Christ?
Well, God raised Jesus, and we're all witnesses. Jesus died for our sins, whom they crucified. He was buried, and he was raised on the third day, as Scripture has been spoken.
Okay. So, could you explain what you mean by witnesses? You said witnesses. No. Was it just you? Were a few, or was it just you apostles?
He was seen by me and my brothers. He was seen by over 500 people at once.
That's all. Your Honor, I have no further questions.
Plaintiff's counsel, you may now cross-examine.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good evening, Peter.
Good evening.
How are you?
Good.
That's good. Could you describe your relationship with this Jesus of Nazareth for the court?
Yeah, I had a very good relationship with him. He was a friend of mine. You know, I just want the chief priests and elders to know that Jesus is the Son of God, and his name is the only name which you can be saved.
Right. Peter, I marvel at your boldness. For a fisherman, you have some vast biblical knowledge. But I'm just going to take that to mean you and this Jesus are real close. At the time of his death, he must have been pretty grieved, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that. Good men have been known to do some pretty horrible things in the midst of grief. Have they not?
You know, I cannot justify what other people say, but only what I have seen and heard.
Oh, that's convenient. No further questions, Your Honor.
You may be dismissed. Thank you. Next witness, please.
Your Honor, I call Mary Magdalene to the stand.
Ms. Madden, please remove your glasses. Thank you.
Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you are about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God.
I do.
You may be seated.
Good evening. Could you please state your name for the court and where you're from?
Yes. I'm Mary Magdalene. I'm from Magdala, a town on the western shore of Lake Tiberias.
Do you know these 11 men?
Yes.
Have you ever known them to steal anything or take anything that doesn't belong to them?
No. They are honest and upright men.
Could you describe for the court what happened on the morning in question at the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea?
Yes. On Sunday, as dawn began to break, Mary and myself were on our way to the tomb. We could see the tomb when a great earthquake shook the ground, and an angel of the Lord appeared to us. The angel pulled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His expression, it was like lightning, and his garments were white as snow. It was the most brilliant thing that I've ever seen. I'm sorry.
You're fine. Please continue at your own pace.
The Roman soldiers were shaking. They were so afraid of the angel, they lay down and appeared to be dead. The angel said, "Fear not, for I know that you are looking for Jesus Christ who was crucified. He is not here, but he has risen, as he said. Now come to the place where the Lord lay. Now go quickly and tell the disciples that he is risen from the dead. Go into Galilee, and there you shall see him. Lo, I have told you."
So did you go, and did you tell the disciples?
Yes, I did.
Did they believe you?
At first, no, they didn't believe me. But then Peter and John went to go see for themselves. Then the Lord appeared to them. They sat and ate with him. Then they all believed.
I have no further questions, Your Honor.
Thank you. You may now cross-examine.
Thank you. Miss Magdalene, are you okay to go on?
Yes.
Would you like a drink of water?
I'm fine.
Okay. Because I seem to think you have this pretty special relationship with the deceased, don't you?
Yes.
You followed Jesus from Galilee, and you ministered under him?
Yes.
You were there when Joseph rolled the stone in front of the tomb?
Yes.
And then you went back on that Sunday?
Yes.
I have to ask, why this special relationship with this man?
Jesus healed me from evil spirits.
Oh, well, for that, you'd probably do anything for this man, wouldn't you?
Why, of course I would.
Yeah.
Jesus saved my life.
Would you lie and perpetrate a fraud?
Objection!
It's okay, Your Honor. I withdraw the question because I have no further questions for her.
Thank you. You may be excused. Defense counsel, any more witnesses?
The defense counsel rests, Your Honor.
Plaintiff's counsel?
Plaintiff rests, Your Honor.
Plaintiff's counsel, you may now address the jury with your closing argument.
Thank you. Your Honor, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the evidence that you've heard have proven these 11 men did indeed steal the body of Jesus Christ from the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, who we believe is also an accomplice in this dastardly deed, by going forth under cover of darkness. They snuck past Roman guard, and they took the body of Jesus to an undisclosed location. The evidence shows that when Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, came to the tomb early on the morning of the 14th, that the deed had already been done. The body was gone. Again, we believe Joseph of Arimathea to be an accomplice in this conspiracy, and with these defendants had ample time to hide this body. Couldn't be more clear now about what has happened at this tomb. I ask you, please come back with a verdict for the chief priests and the elders, and find these men guilty. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Defense counsel, you may now address the jury.
Thank you, Your Honor. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, my clients are innocent. Plain and simple. That couldn't be more clear.
Yeah.
How do you account for the grave clothes folded neatly and in order? Surely thieves wouldn't fold grave clothes. How do you account for the Roman soldiers not being put to death for failing at their job? My clients are innocent. Plain and simple. Please, do the right thing. Bring back a verdict in favor of these 11 men and a decision against evil and the forces of darkness that the plaintiff represents. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you have now heard all the evidence in this case. You will now go into the jury room and make a decision on whether or not these 11 men are guilty or not guilty. Court will resume when you guys have come up with a verdict. Thank you.
All rise. You may be seated.
Welcome back. This is WHTV News Channel 7, and I'm Liz Scott. Well, there you have it. The apostles have been cleared of all charges brought against them, and Jesus has risen from the grave. Let's check.
All rise.
You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury,
I have heard that you have made a verdict in this case. Is that correct?
Yes.
Please hand it to the bailiff. Will the 11 defendants please rise for the hearing of the verdict? The jury has determined by testimony given and their own decision that God has raised Jesus on the third day, and he was shown openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen by God. Through the testimonies that have been given, it is Jesus who was ordained by God, and that by dying on the cross, whoever believes in him shall have their sins forgiven. Therefore, it is the decision of this court that these 11 defendants be found not guilty yes! of all charges.
Yes! Thank you so much.
Order. All charges against you will be dismissed. Court is adjourned.
Yes!
All rise.
Welcome back. This is WHTV News Channel 7, and I'm Liz Scott. Well, there you have it. The apostles have been cleared of all charges brought against them, and Jesus has risen from the grave. Let's check in with our WHTV News correspondent, Katie Sanford, and see what the reaction from the crowd is. Katie, are you there?
Yes, Liz, the cheers from the crowd when the verdict was announced is deafening. These followers of Jesus Christ never doubted for a moment that the apostles would be found not guilty. They knew Jesus rose on the third day because it was written in Scripture, and their belief in what was written had never faltered. I'm Katie Sanford with WHTV, reporting live from the very happy Chemung County Courthouse.
Let's give everyone a hand on tonight, everyone. One more time for all these fine people who gave their time, their talents. Can we do better than that? All these beautiful people. Once again, thank you so much for all that you all have done to make this a good success. And we're looking for more of you all to join the drama ministry for, you can run it, for future programs and events that we're going to have done at this church. Are you all excited about what the drama team is doing? Amen. Well, let's bring to the stage our pastor, Dr. Michael Spencer.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much. You can all be seated. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Tonight, I just want to share with you real quickly. How many of you thought that was a powerful little message? You see, it's amazing when we recognize that every single person is looking for truth. And everybody in their process of looking for truth, it's amazing to recognize that some seem to find their own truth. For there's a way that seems right unto man that leads to death, is what the Word of God declares. You see, every one of us in this room tonight have sought after truth in some dimension. We've looked at Jesus. We've had to look at Jesus. Do you know in the time when he walked on the planet, signs and wonders and miracles that he accomplished, the Bible says there were so many accomplished that there would have been volumes upon volumes of the testimonies. But you see, some people follow Jesus because they saw the miracles and they accepted him as the truth being the Messiah. Some looked at Jesus and followed him, wondering who he really was, and just were a little starstruck about the whole Christ thing. In fact, one day in the book of John, chapter 6, he said a hard saying, and when he did, all the people that truly did not believe him as truth got up and walked away. Jesus said to his own disciples, he said, "What are you guys going to go too?" And you know what Peter said? He said, "Peter, this man right here," he looked and he said, "Jesus, where are we going to go? You're the one with the words of eternal life." You see, truth is something that we're constantly pursuing. There were some that followed Jesus that didn't believe that he was the Son of God, that did not believe that he was Messiah. But they went after Christ to try to disprove him and to embarrass him and to show that he was not who he said he was. You see, every single person in this room makes a decision upon the truth that we are establishing in our own heart. And what we see as truth is what we pursue. That has to come through some level of revelation. We have to come to an understanding of what we believe, because what we believe is how we live. And you see, if Jesus is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life, no man comes to the Father but by him. If the truth is that, then those who do not have the revelation and those who do not accept him as the Messiah, then the truth is still truth, yet they have a problem now on their hands. You see, even John the Baptist came to a little bit of a discussion in his own mind. He was in jail. You see, I want to remind you that he had baptized Jesus. The Spirit of God came upon him, and the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." You would think that that's all the revelation that he would need. But I want you to know that maybe tonight you're sitting in this room, and at one point in time, you had the revelation of God. You gave your heart to Jesus. You believed him for who he truly is, the way, the truth, and the life. You made that decision to follow after him. But man, situations happened. Doubt crept in. Wonder crept in. Wound crept in. Deception crept in. John the Baptist sent his disciples and asked Jesus a question in the book of Luke, chapter 7, verse 22. Are you truly the one, or do we look for another? Are you the truth? Are you the Messiah? Or do we have to look for somebody else? I love what Jesus said. Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the good news is proclaimed to the poor. You see, today, you and I are addressing truth in our life. If Christ is the truth, and we reject the truth, then we've got to ask ourselves, what are we buying in place of? You see, because some don't know him. Some doubt him. Some reject him. Some love him. Some absolutely hate him. But all have to determine in their own heart the principles of truth. To lay their head down at night. They have to deceive themselves if they do not believe. They have to sit back and justify and nullify their reasons and what they accomplish. If Christ is truly the truth, then we've all got to come to a revelation. For if he's the only way into heaven to be saved, then we've got to come to a conclusion in our heart. We've got to serve him. The truth is that even when you come to those decisions of truth, at times you get your world rocked. At times there are struggles in your life. Come on, now you can imagine the disciples. They watched the blind eyes open. They watched the deaf ears be able to hear. They watched the demons come out of people. People out of their minds come and sit around where even in a whole town looked at Christ and said, "Man, you're messing this whole place up. You need to move on." Where they walked up to a city and instead of feeling bad about the funeral, Jesus raised the dude from the dead. They saw all of this. They heard Jesus declare that he was truly the Son of God. Yet they watched him hang on a tree. They watched as they could not help him. They watched as he gave himself. For Christ declared that no man took my life. I gave my life. Unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it cannot produce fruit. If you kill this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up. He was declaring the truth, yet they did not understand. There are times confused. Confusion comes in our lives. Doubt comes in our lives. And we've got to wrap ourselves around something. We've got to come back to truth. We've got to come back to truth. The disciples' questions, come on, they left. The only one who stayed. Remember, Peter denied Jesus three times. Only John remained. You see, when those trials and tribulations come your way, you are going to ask yourselves questions about truth. This is why establishing, for faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Church is not just some nice little religious place you go to camp out once a week and you say your que sera, sera, whatever will be. But Christ is a relationship. Christ is not a religion. Christ is a way of life. He is the truth, and the truth of the word will transition you and make you, empower you, and give you all that you need to succeed on this planet. It wasn't just the disciples who questioned. The guards questioned. Come on, the centurion. These are the ones who helped hang him on the tree. Yet something happened that day. The Bible says that the earth got dark when it shouldn't have been dark. That all of a sudden an earthquake broke out. And when the earthquake broke out, the guards looked up. One of them said this. He said, surely he was the Son of God. He had a revelation of the truth. The temple veil believed he was the Messiah as it torn in two. The earth knew that Christ was the Messiah as it rebelled against its normal process. And even Satan knew he's truth. But yet in his jeering, foul, nasty way, celebrated, thinking that he had truly killed the Messiah. But the great news and the truth is that even though those people struggled, the one thing is still the facts. And that is that Jesus Christ rose from the dead on the third day. Come on, I said Jesus Christ rose from the dead on the third day. And when he rose from the dead, it doesn't matter your struggles. It doesn't matter your troubles. The one thing is true and will always remain true. That if he can raise from the dead, what can he do in your life? You see, every one of us are looking at truth. We live according to our truth. But if every man was able to designate truth in his own mind, and that be truly valid, what would this earth really look like? Would it be a crime for ISIS to blow people up? It's right to them. That's their truth. Would it be right to euthanize? Would it be right to abort? Would it be right to sell drugs to children? Would it be right to sexually abuse, emotionally abuse? You see, when man is able to concoct truth in his own mind, then there is no regulator to bring an understanding of the moral value of the kingdom of God. You see, Christ is truth to redeem us back to the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And when we accept Christ as the truth, then our life transforms, because it's not a religious action. It is a relationship with the living God, and he will transform your life. So the question comes to Matthew chapter 15, 16. But what about you? Who do you say that I am? This one simple truth, determined by your own heart, determines how you live, how you act, how you speak, how you think. It's amazing, as I don't run around and tell everybody I'm a preacher. I was with a man today, didn't know I was a preacher, dropping the F-bomb all over the place. Kind of found out I was a preacher. The F-bomb kind of dried up. Why? Truth. We know truth, for God has written the law upon our own hearts. So tonight, you see, Easter can be just a nice little religious thing. You made mama happy. You made wifey happy. You finally got to shut them up. You did your once a year thing. Now bug off. But I'm here to tell you that there is an intrusion in your life tonight. The intrusion is called truth. And the application is called the Holy Spirit. And so tonight, get ready. Father, in the name of Jesus, I release the Holy Spirit to do what you do best. I ask that you bring revelation to us. Lord, some have been wounded. Some have been hurt. Some just simply don't know. Some just simply don't believe. Some, oh God, are in absolute rebellion. Some, oh God, are on the side of Satan and Lucifer. I declare in the name of Christ that you'll bring revelation knowledge to all those that are listening right now to my voice. That Holy Ghost, you will bring revelation to them that even they would have to come to a clear conclusion of acceptance or rejection of the truth. Lord, I thank you for Easter. I thank you that you didn't just hang on that tree and die. But on the third day you rose again. You took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Oh, that day that Satan felt like he had everything in order. The third day in, he lost it all. For Christ, you made an open show of him. Victory in Jesus. So tonight, Lord, I don't ask for more religion to be perpetuated. I don't ask for a story just to be thought about. I thank you that this is truth, and for those who will receive it, it will make them free. To some, the blood of the man that hung was just normal blood that mingled with the dirt below that heavy wooden post. But for those who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved, and that blood is transforming, forgiving, healing, restoring. And tonight we ask that the blood will be applied to our lives and the resurrection power of Jesus will make us free. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed tonight, if you do not know Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to know I'm not asking you to join a church. I want you to be a citizen of heaven. I want you to have the revelation of who Jesus is. You see, the only way to heaven is not to be baptized as a child. The only way to heaven is not to join and have a membership at a church. The only way to heaven is not to be a nice person and do nice things and give a few dollars. The only way to heaven is if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that he rose from the dead. When you make that confession, supernaturally, there's a transition. Tonight, if you do not know Jesus, you want this resurrected Savior. Oh, and by the way, you don't have to hang your brain on a hat rack. I challenge you to do even more in-depth study. Even one of the founders, I said it on Sunday, even one of the founders of Harvard University, Dr. Greenleaf, had to come to the conclusion that Christ died and rose from the dead completely through proof. You don't have to be ignorant to receive Jesus. Tonight, if you would like to receive Christ as your Savior, you understand what was being done here in this play. Tonight, you want to receive not the dead Christ, but the risen Christ, and accept truth. I'd like you to slide your hand up tonight. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. I'm not going to embarrass you. Thank you, ma'am, in the back. Thank you. I see your hand. Is there anyone else this evening? Thank you, sir. I see your hand as well. Is there anyone else? Come on. Maybe you're not right with God. Yes, thank you very much. Thank you. I see you both. Thank you. You can put your hand right back down. Is there anyone else? Come on now. Let's not play. I'm not going to wait long. I'm not going to wait. Come on. Get your hand up. Five. Come on. Get your hand up. Four. Get your hand up. Three. Two. Last call. Last call. Oh, I don't really care the distractions, because truth cuts through all distractions. Last call. One. Let's all stand to our feet. Tonight, I'm thankful for Jesus. Amen. I thank you, Jesus, for raising from the dead. I thank you, Lord, for taking the beating you took so my sins could be forgiven. I can't even fathom. I just that movie, Lord, The Passion of the Christ, but still being weak. I can't even fathom going through what you did there. Never mind what you really accomplished. Tonight, what we're going to do is if you raise your hand for salvation, I'm going to ask you to take another brave step. And I know it's bravery. And I know that you're saying, oh my goodness, I thought I was just going to have to raise my hand and run. But the Bible says, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. Tonight, I want you to make a decision that will transform your life. Tonight, if you raise your hand to accept Jesus Christ, come on, you got to be brave. Maybe grab the person next to you and say, I need you to go with. Tonight, if you raise your hand for salvation, I'd like you to meet me right down front. This is your night, resurrection night, transformation forever. Amen. Amen. Come on, there were many more hands. Make your way. You see, they're clapping for you. There's no embarrassment here. They're clapping for you. Why? Because they accepted the truth as well, man of God. This right here is Minister Randall. Minister Randall's going to pray with you, make sure you get your Bibles, and make sure you know where you're going. We have a plan. You know, we want to make sure you get solid, not just get saved, not just accept the truth, but live in truth. And tonight we're going to help you do that, all right? All right? Can you give them one more hand clap? They're going to go with Mr. Randall. Just follow him right here. Tonight I want you to know that not only the cross accomplished the fact that you couldn't get saved, but he says you can also be healed. And tonight if you need healing in your body, we want you to meet us right up front. We're going to pray for healing. I need the prayer team to come around the front of the altar real quickly. We're going to pray right now tonight for healing. If you need healing in your physical body, the same Christ who rose from the dead will heal your body tonight when they lay hands on you. I'm believing and have no question concerning. I just want to say I love you. Thank you so much for being here tonight. Thank you so much for living in truth. He'll change your life forever. Be consistent in the kingdom and you'll always continue to grow. Amen. I said amen. Amen. We love you. Have an awesome night. Serve Jesus with all of your heart. If you find you need to bring somebody on Sunday, make sure you're back with your guest, HT plus one. We love you. Have a nice night. Make sure if you need prayer, you're around the altar.
He plunged me to victory beneath that cleansing flood. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and brought me.